If you have your Bibles with you, would you turn to John chapter 9? John 9, or if you have your phones, your Bible apps, your iPads, whatever it is that you use to listen to Scripture. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents?" No, let me start again. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes open?" they demanded. And he replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash, so I went and I washed, and then I could see." Pretty simple, isn't it? "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was the Sabbath. And therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner do such miraculous signs?" So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him?" "It was your eyes he opened," the man replied. "He is a prophet." And the Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it now that he can see?" "We know he is our son," the parents answered, "and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. And that was why his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I have told you already." You can see a little bit of impatience coming through there, right? "I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." And the man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." And to this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, Do you believe in the Son of God? Do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one that is speaking with you. And then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Jesus said, For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who will see will, and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, What? Are we blind too? Jesus said, If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. May the Lord bless his word as it's packed to us this morning.
Good morning, my friends.
Good morning.
What are you clinging to these days? These days of uncertainty, right? What do we cling to? What do we cling to? We can all agree that we are on roads of discovery, each and every one of us. And in a scale, say from zero to infinity, each and every one of us are certain a number along that scale on the road of spiritual discovery. I might be maybe a 5, 4 from zero to infinity. But we're all there. We're all there. Remember the journey last week of the two guys on the road to Emmaus? We talked about that last week. They were on that same road of discovery, just like you and I. Now, Paul wrote to the people in Colossae, in Colossians, about this journey of discovery on a scale of 1 to infinity. I wonder where he would have been as well. Probably he's with us believers today in the single digits in the scale of 0 to infinity. He says in Colossians 2 and 3, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's a lot of wisdom and a lot of knowledge found in Jesus. Found in Jesus. So I say again, what are you clinging to today? Now, today, we've got a fantastic story about the healing of a blind man begging. And it shows us some incredible truths about God. Now, I'm reminded about the old West gunslinger who had no issues, no end of issues with his aim. Couldn't aim to save his life, because he was blind in one eye and he couldn't see out of the other one. So, no, but that's not the story we're looking at today. That's not the story we're looking at today. Donette, thank you so much for reading that account in God's Word out of John chapter 9. The blind man healed by the kindness of Jesus Christ. You notice something? He didn't ask to be healed. He didn't ask Jesus, oh, Jesus, come in, I'm blind, you know, can you heal me? No, he didn't ask to be healed. He didn't ask for it. He probably woke up one morning, and it's going to be a regular day. He's blind. He's feeling himself around and getting dressed. He's got to go out to the road and sit on the road on his mat. And it's going to be a regular, normal day for him, begging to get enough money to buy a loaf of bread so he can have something to eat on that day. But Jesus, I love those words, but Jesus walks by. Instead of it being a normal day, which was his expectation, remember our expectations? He received something far greater and far better than what he could actually beg for. God loves to surprise you. with good things. The man started his journey of discovery on that day. He started at the starting line, not the finish line, the starting line, because when you come to Christ and when you have an encounter with Jesus, that's just the beginning. That is just the beginning. It's the starting line. That's when the days of discovery really start to happen. So, he started his journey of discovery. And we see a progression here about understanding who Jesus was. When the blind man's neighbors asked who healed him, he said, well, it's the man they call Jesus. The man they call Jesus. Later, he was brought in front of the Pharisees, and then his understanding changed to, well, he's a prophet. He's a prophet. Even later, pressed again by the Pharisees, the man understood that Jesus was truly from God. And finally, he came to see Jesus as the Son of Man. He started on that day at the starting line of his journey of discovery. His journey began. He crossed that starting line on a scale of 1 to infinity. Well, he was probably the same as everyone else here, maybe a 3 or 4. But he started his journey of discovery. There's 2 important facts here that I want us to glean from this story. The first one is we have to hold tightly to Jesus and hold loosely to doctrine. Now, let me explain that. The doctrine of the Pharisee believed that if you sin, God inflicts punishment on you. Sicknesses, diseases, blindness, leprosy were understood to be the consequences of your sin. The consequences of sin of somebody close to you, your wife, your mom, your dad. This was their doctrine, their belief, their teaching. They instilled this in the people around them. And this is why the disciples asked Jesus about the blind man. Who sinned? Jesus? This man or his parents? Because he's blind. Who sinned? And even the disciples in this day held to that doctrine. Who sinned that he was born blind? Whose fault is it? Jesus makes it very clear, neither one of them. His parents didn't sin. He didn't sin. He's blind. He was born blind. But the Pharisees held with white-knuckled ferocity to the doctrine. With clenched fists, they held on to that. Someone sinned because he's blind. You see, people need to hold close to Jesus, tightly to Jesus, but loose to doctrine. Now, when I say hold tightly to Jesus, I mean top priority. We've got to listen to Jesus. Listen to his words. Follow his example. Do what he says. Walk the talk. If you are a Christian, if you don the name of Christ as a Christian, then prove it by the way you live. Just don't give it lip service. Walk the talk. Jesus has to be the top authority We need to put do our best to put his teachings into practice. He is our Lord, he is our Savior, and he has ultimate authority. Do you believe that? Then walk the talk. He is our Lord, he is your Lord, and he has ultimate authority in your life. So walk the talk. If we hold tightly to Jesus, we will love God, we'll love our neighbor, and we will love our enemies. If we hold tightly to Jesus, we will walk with a beautiful mixture of humility and power because of what God's Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. That itself will overcome sin and be the light into the world that this dark world needs. Holding tightly to Jesus means staying close to him and connected to him in prayer and in worship, because he is the source and energy that energizes us. What good is a flashlight when you're out camping if the batteries are dead? You're groping around in the darkness. You've got to stay energized. It means walking with him, abiding with him in fellowship, because he is risen and he is present and he is relevant in our world. And the longer we hold tightly to Jesus, the more we are transformed into his likeness. A likeness of courage, self-giving love. That is the narrow road. And we are to walk the talk on the narrow road. Last Sunday, we had the fifth installment of our Bible study here on the book of Acts. It's a great Bible study. We meet here around the tables after the service on Sunday morning. We study the book of Acts with the help of Bible teacher Louis Giglio. It's a phenomenal and wonderful study, and it's opening our eyes to who God is and what he wants from each and every one of us. Last week, we discovered that the Christian life is a series of blocks and tackles like you would have in a football game. Every week, we block the attacks of the devil. We block him because he is coming against us every single minute of every single day. He wants to bring us down. We block his assault. But then we move forward and we tackle ground and gain ground, and we move the ball up the field ever so slightly. But we do have to come together as we are now in our huddle. There must be a huddle. That's where the game strategy exists. That's where we come together in prayer, worship, and Bible study, bringing ourselves together in the huddle, because it's going to start all over again Monday morning with the blocks and the tackles. And if you ever want to run the ball up the field to a touchdown victory, you got to block, you got to tackle, you've got to get into the huddle. You have to hold tightly to Jesus. And during these huddles, we as Christians, or in this series right now, Christ followers, as was discussed in our book of Acts, we need to huddle. We need to stay linked to Jesus. We've got to hold tight. We have to hold tight to Jesus. Now we hold tightly to Jesus, but we've got to hold loosely to doctrine. Now let me explain what I'm talking about here. Don't understand me here. Don't misunderstand me. We need to hold sound biblical doctrine. Yes, we do. We have to hold on to it. Because it's what we believe. If you look into the back of the songbook of the Salvation Army, we see the "we believe" statements, the doctrines of the Salvation Army, based on Scripture. We hold to these doctrines. But we hold them loosely. The most important thing is holding tightly to Jesus. You see, the doctrine that was presented in this story was flawed, deeply flawed. Anybody who was sick or disabled or had a stammering tongue was either sinned, their parents have sinned, anybody else around them has sinned, or they were demon-possessed. Simply wrong. They were seen as being punished by God. And so the disciples in the story bring this doctrine to Jesus. Who sinned, Jesus? This man is blind. He was born blind. So who sinned? Was it him, or, you know, did his parents sin? Jesus refutes this, and he says it's untrue. Come on, guys. Jesus demonstrated how untrue it was by simply healing the guy. From that point forward, this doctrine was invalid. It was invalid. The disciples were learning to hold tightly to Jesus, but hold loosely to this doctrine. Now, so what was the problem with the Pharisees? They had it backwards. The Pharisees held tightly to the doctrine and loosely to Jesus. They lacked the humility to consider some of their teachings and unbeliefs might be a little misguided. They were convinced that this man was blind because of some sin committed in his life and that he was a sinner. Look at verse 34. And even though the Son of God refused this idea and actually healed him, which proved God didn't cause this blindness as a punishment for sin, they still held tightly to their belief. Like I said before, with white knuckle ferocity. It's simply shocking. They didn't rejoice because the man was healed. They didn't rejoice, oh, thank you, you know, he's healed. They didn't rejoice with him, no. They started to interrogate him. Who did it? How did it happen? Well, you're not the guy. You just look like him. They interrogate his parents. So caught up with their misguided belief at that time, they held on to it with clenched fists and wouldn't let it go. They doubled down on their misguided doctrine and their selfish agendas because religious people are infected with pride. They cannot see what might be right in front of their noses. They cannot see where they may be wrong. And I do believe some Christians who don the name of Christ are like that as well. So hung up on non-kingdom issues. What is a non-kingdom issue? I have seen and heard of churches being split over the color of the carpet or the paint that goes on the wall. Non-kingdom stuff. But they hold on to it with clenched fists. Why? That's a problem in our world today. Some Christians hold on to misguided thinking tightly. But they hold very loosely to Jesus. We put our beliefs about God ahead of our relationship with God. We put our beliefs about God ahead of walking with God. We're full of ideas about Him, but do we truly know who He really is? You see, it's possible to have a relationship with the Bible, but not Jesus. I have heard of and I have known some Christians who go and they get all the doctorates and all the degrees in the world, and they can quote scripture like it's going out of style. They know the Greek and the Hebrew and everything, but they don't know the Lord of the Bible. You can have a relationship with the Bible, but not the God of the Bible. Now, don't get me wrong. The Bible is intricate and immensely important to discovering who Jesus is. But the relationship is with Him. Amen? Amen. You see, it's about the relationship, not the religion. I can be religious, but how many times I wash the car? Or how many times I got to mow the lawn? Which reminds me, I got to mow the lawn. All that rain and the lawn's going nuts. So I guess I got to get a little bit religious about mowing the lawn this week. But see, it's not about religion. It's about a relationship. Someone said to Donette not too long ago, "Well, I'm not religious." Donette says, "Well, that's great. Neither am I. I'm not religious, except when it comes to mowing the lawn, maybe. I don't know." It's about a relationship with my Lord. I know and I love and I study God's Word to get me closer to the Jesus that I love, because I want to hold tightly to Him. I want to hold tightly to Him. Holding tightly to Jesus. Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi, said this one time, "I like your Christ, but I do not like your Christians. They are so unlike your Christ." Wow. Wow. I like your Christ, but I don't like your Christians. They are so unlike your Christ. What did he mean by that? He meant that he was drawn to the person of Jesus, to his life, his ministry, his teachings, and his willingness to suffer right to death. He was drawn to that. He respected that. He loved that. And Gandhi even learned from that. Jesus was one of Gandhi's teachers through the Sermon on the Mount. Mahatma Gandhi loved Jesus' teaching, Sermon on the Mount. In fact, Gandhi took the teachings of Jesus very seriously. But when Gandhi looked at the lives of Christians, he shook his head. Their lives were so unlike the life of Jesus. They didn't take Jesus or his teachings very seriously at all. They did not walk with Jesus in the way that made them look like Jesus and have an impact like Jesus. And Donette and I say this over and over again. If you are a Christian and name the name of Christ Jesus as your Savior, how are you living out there? How do you live out there? It's all wonderful to come into the huddle here at the church, but what does this do for our lives out there? And how are we living in the marketplaces of the world? I always say that we are made to mirror. We are made to mirror Jesus. We are also made to magnify Jesus. How is that going for you out there? Are you walking the talk? But Gandhi says they did not walk with Jesus in a way that made them look like Jesus and have an impact like Jesus. He found Christians to be high on information and doctrine, but low on self-giving love and a concern for justice. He would say that Christians held tightly to doctrine and loosely to Jesus. Are we like that? Oh, I pray that we're not. I pray that we're not like that. Are we like the Pharisees? So caught up in our own little selfish world of what I want and what I like and what I believe and non-kingdom issues that everything else is totally forgotten about. Even the way that I conduct myself out there in the world and sometimes even in here in church. Are we like the Pharisees who knew their scriptures and doctrines really, really well, but at the end of the day were far from the actual God of creation whose heart is full of love and light? Are our hearts full of love and light this morning? And if they're not, they can be. God loves his enemies. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. God loves his neighbor. The Trinity exists, remember this, church? The Trinity exists in the perfect communion of self-giving love with one another. Remember the eternal dance of love. And God is inviting you to the dance floor. Walk the talk. Hold tightly to Jesus. Learn the dance of love. That's the kind of love and life God wants for each and every one of his children. He wants his life, his eternal life, to be the living water that flows from each and every one of us out there. Because who we are in Jesus Christ will make a difference out there, because God's love is restorative. I don't know, Ken. I don't know, Major. I don't know if I can make a difference, my friend. If you know Jesus Christ, it's not you who's making a difference, but God's Holy Spirit working through you. That's going to make all the difference in the world. Get to know him. Hold tightly to Jesus. Because you are the only Jesus that somebody's ever going to see. God's love is restorative. So how are we to act as his beloved children? John 4:8, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. God is love. And everything God does is initiated by love and through love. God loves us and he wants us through him to love the world. We've had a wonderful number of Sundays. We've seen an increase in the number of people coming and people coming to the Lord and receiving Christ as their Savior. And we've seen people come back. My friends, if you want to see this place filled, be Jesus out there. hold tightly to Jesus out there. So we're all on this journey of discovery. On a scale of 1 to infinity, we're probably in the low single digits, but we're all together on this journey of discovery. Hold tightly to Jesus. Believe in your doctrine, yes. Believe in your doctrine. But don't put your doctrine or your beliefs before the Christ you love and adore. Open your Bible. Get to know Him. In your Bible time during the week. In your prayer time during the week. That's part of the huddle. And we move that ball to the touchdown victory at the end of the game. That's what it all matters. That's where it all matters. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much this morning for your word, sound teaching. We thank you for your Son, Heavenly Father, who came to this earth, born of a virgin, grew up to be a man, and our Savior who died and rose again. And as we walk the walk of discovery, like those men and the road to Emmaus, we pray that you'll open our eyes, dear Lord, that we may see you. Fill us, dear Lord, with a longing to get to know you. Maybe there's someone here this morning or online who wants to start at the fish, at the starting line, that journey of discovery. And if you are there or here in the building, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And I pray at this moment that you will come into my heart and my life. Forgive my sins because I believe in you. And from this day forward, I will endeavor to live my life to give you glory, now and forevermore. I pray this in and through the matchless name of my Jesus, my Savior. In his name I pray. Amen. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, either here or online, we'd love to connect with you. You can go to our website at sawhitby.ca and talk to us afterwards. The coffee pot's on, and we'd love to sit and chat. God has a wonderful plan for your life. He loves you dearly. Amen. Hallelujah.